no matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. So said U.S. Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan at the beginning of the 20th century. Think about it. Whether you woke yourself this morning or were somehow invited into the waiting world, your first act involved a choice. And as exciting as choices can be, sometimes the overwhelming possibilities can stifle us even before we take our first step. There are many literary figures who can testify the crippling fatigue of making choices. How many of you remember the Aesop fable, the fox and the cat? The fox prides himself in having so many ways to escape the dangers of the forest. The cat has only one, up a tree. When the hounds encircle, the cat scales the trunk to a safe limb high above. The fox is devoured because he just can't choose his best escape. The moral of the story, better safe one way than 100 on which you cannot reckon. Today's videos are about making a life-changing choice. Whether we will or will not continue to choose God. The first reading, we hear Joshua. Joshua is Moses' successor. He's the new leader of the people. And after 40 years in the desert, he's led them to the promised land. I must tell you, I'm already 55 years of age. I can barely remember what I was thinking 40 years ago. For the Israelites, 40 years was more than half of a lifetime. Finally reaching the promised land, Joshua says, are you ready to renew your covenant with the Lord? Now most of us, a few thousand years later, look at this as a no-brainer. Just bend down, tie your shoes, and walk into the promised land. But how often, when we're on the threshold of something new, are we suddenly horrified to take the next step? Sometimes a lifetime of same old, can be the very barrier that keeps us from stepping into something new. Let's face it, not all of life's turning points lead to something better. Sometimes we're faced with a moment of crisis, a death, a shattered dream, a ruptured relationship, a betrayal of trust, a sense of abandonment, where we don't even believe that there is a step forward. My dear people, if you have ever used the expression between a rock and a hard place, between the devil and the deep blue sea, jumping from the frying pan into the fire, or the lesser of two evils, you have stood on that threshold where Joshua now speaks. My brothers and sisters, I am not just a poet today. What was 40 years of wandering for our ancestors in faith is for us today the barren desert of leadership that has engulfed our church all summer. And if you are uncertain as to your next step, your ensuing choice, your direction on this, I suspect that you are not. When our Holy Father wrote to us this very week about abuse of power and abuse of conscience, about how with shame and repentance we realize the magnitude and the gravity of the damage done, these are his words. How can we be alone? How can we not relate to a people who have waited 4 decades to leave this barren wasteland? Perhaps that's why I can't listen to any more commentators or opinion pieces just now. I just want to ask Joshua, where do we go? How do you lead us? Lord, and we look toward tomorrow. And after leading the despondent people in an examine of conscience, Joshua says these words: "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today who you serve. The God of your fathers is beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you now dwell. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Perhaps this is where Peter gets his strength in the gospel gift from examining his conscience. When many of the other disciples are abandoning Jesus and going back to the former ways of life, Peter makes his choice and says to Jesus, "Master, to whom shall we go?" It's a great Latin phrase oft attributed to Jesus: "Quo vadis?" Where are you going? In a powerful account of the life of St. Peter, the saint apparently runs from his own end in martyrdom. He hears the Lord Jesus say, "Quo vadis?" And Peter then returns to find himself crucified upside down on his feet. If in your fatigue and despair you have heard the Lord Jesus ask you, "Quo vadis?" Where are you going? How do you respond today in light of everything? I had all things, a childhood memory this week, when the mounting bruise and thin pieces brought on anger and rage in me. I remembered my oldest brother, then a precocious 5 or 6 years of age, telling my mother in the fights that he was running away from home. I was shocked when she offered him lunch and pointed to the door. And he left. I didn't know whether to crawl under the table or cry. Half an hour later, the doorbell rang. It was our neighbor, Gloria. She said, "I saw your son on the corner of 21st and Poplar Street. He said he's running away from home. I asked him why he was still standing on the corner. He said my mother hasn't given him permission to cross the street." While the story is so cliche, it could come from Reader's Digest, my mother is still alive and can testify to the truth. I tell you that running from our rage and disgust is rarely the answer. No matter how far we run, we will find that threshold which we cannot cross. Instead, when Jesus asks us, "Quo vadis?" we must ask ourselves, "Where am I going?" Week after week, we praise the Lord in song, profess our faith, and receive his very body and blood into our hearts. And week after week, we leave this church, and as we leave, Jesus accompanies us and asks, "Quo vadis? Where are you going? Can I walk with you?" This day, in a world of abundant choices, I take consolation in identifying with the cat in the Aesop fable. I may only have one choice, and I thank God for giving me that choice. I want to walk with Jesus. Joshua's choice, St. Peter's choice, changed the church. Change the world.